God's word for you, Galatians 5, verses 4 to 6, beginning with verse 4. You are completely cut off from Christ if you are trying to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. Completely cut off is the Greek word katargeo, which has three related meanings. First, it can be to waste something, like a dead tree using up or wasting the soil, Luke 13. Second, it can be to end something's power or life, as in Christ breaking the power of death in 2 Timothy 1, or the fading of Moses' radiant face, or the ending of a war. Here it means to be cut off, to have the connection wrecked or destroyed. There's no going back when someone wants to be declared innocent and holy through their own efforts. They have made Christ something less by adding themselves. It's like a man being saved from drowning by a strong swimmer, but then the one who is drowning says, I know a better way to shore, and then pulls them both under the waves to die. You have fallen from grace is the same as saying you have shipwrecked your faith. This is like a tree branch saying to the tree, I am better off without you. And cutting itself free? How long does a branch live without any connection to the tree's roots and sap? It's already nothing but lumber as soon as the connection ends, even though the tree continues to live. Often, our own doubt and our own sinful human nature is what gets in the way. Remember, one's own personal tendency to want to add to what Jesus did is the biggest gospel twister of all. Thank Jesus today that he has wiped away our sins. Anything else doesn't cut it. Anything else doesn't equal forgiveness. Any works righteousness equals the total loss of God's gift in Christ. Anything but Jesus just isn't Jesus. Verse 5. For through the Spirit, by faith, we are eagerly waiting for the sure hope of righteousness. Through the Spirit, by faith, is Paul saying that Christians, we, are led by the Spirit, but you Galatians, who are in danger of falling away, are being led away by the Judaizers. The by faith part of the verse shows that the means of how this righteousness comes. We apprehend it, grasp it, hold on to it by faith. Sure hope is how I put it in my translation, the waiting for the sure hope of righteousness. That's my translation here of Elpida, hope. And since in English we've begun to think of hope as an uncertain thing, a maybe thing, but a maybe not thing, we tend to say, or rather we need to say sure hope or hope with certainty here. Because Paul means something that is coming in the future, certainly coming and without a doubt. But simply not here yet, for faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's Hebrews 11:1. Last night, my city had a pretty good storm. The lightning flashed across the sky, there was a quick heartbeat, and then the thunder rolled over us. The thunder was on its way, but for that instant, after the flash of lightning, the thunder just wasn't here yet. It was surely coming, certainly on its way. And this is how we wait for the actual and final righteousness that will be ours in heaven. Christ has erupted out of the tomb like a wild, bright flash of lightning. We benefit from him. We have the certainty of his righteousness coming for us. But like the roar of the thunder, it has not arrived yet. That will be when we too erupt out of our tombs, raised by the voice of Christ himself. Jesus said, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out." John 5. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, "The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Verse 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. Instead, it is faith working through love that counts. Circumcision or uncircumcision? Is one good and the other evil? Well, neither has any value either way. Circumcision is not in the discussion of eternal life. My mother always grew snapdragons in her flower bed. What if someone came along and said, "You have to have snapdragons to get into heaven"? Now, I know that that's nonsense, and my mother would have said it even more quickly than I could, but there might be a little blister of smugness that would say, "Aha, I know you don't need a snapdragon to get into heaven, but I have one." And maybe that's something in my favor anyway, like having extra food in the stove, or rather on the stove in case guests come. There isn't really any benefit at all, and it would be better to dig up all the snapdragons and burn them than be tempted to think that they have any value. That's how it is with circumcision. By the way, don't go and burn your snapdragons. The Jews who were circumcised as week-old babies shouldn't be led to think that this has any or had any spiritual value anymore. And more than that, they should not compel anyone to be circumcised as a path to being a Christian. To be baptized is to have your sins washed away. To be circumcised no longer has any meaning or spiritual value at all, since Christ fulfilled the law, as he says in Luke 24:44. Now, does faith working through love mean that works really or secretly contribute anything? Well, no, not at all. James says, and James too is an inspired author of God's holy word, James says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says that he has faith but has no works? Is that faith able to save him? Suppose that a brother or sister has no clothes and no food day after day, yet one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat well,' but does not give them what their body needs. What good is it? Such a faith by itself that has no works is dead." When we read that whole passage from James, we see that he's not making a case for letting our works get us into heaven. Rather, he is acting like a coach, encouraging us to put our faith into practice. It's not the practice of faith that saves, it is the faith that saves. But faith that does not act is dead, like a tree limb that has fallen away from the tree. This is the nature and the characteristic of faith, that it reveals itself through love. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.